you look at the way government works and you start to see how the deals are made, and you also see the clown show, the way it's orchestrated, the way it's pre-planned in a council meeting, so that you, so that the agenda is pushed in the way that you want it to go. At the last council meeting, it was interesting the trail of events that we discussed in the last Liberty Report. Specifically, that the attorney that formed the 501c3 for Marty Daniels and the rest of the crew out there in Boykinville ceded his time to Rene Castro. And Mr. Castro went on, and at the end of that 5 minutes, Jimmy Jones made a point of order to which his time is up. And then Miss Gwen said, Mr. Attorney, your time is up, and the next speaker is Rene Castro. Oh, Mr. Castro, you're right here. And then she may have said that she was going to allow this because this is a special occasion, special topic. Now, she made two points right there. The second one being that it's her meeting and she can do whatever specialness that she wants to do. But also that she acknowledged that ceding your time to the next person or to whoever is a legitimate thing that you can do. But what is interesting is to consider, was this planned? Was this orchestrated? And to that, I would suggest some evidence by looking at the screen as the attorney cedes his time. You'll see the clock on the bottom left that shows his time running out and then being stopped by the guy running the computer on the very end, the IT man. And instead of resetting the clock to Mr. Rene Castro, he leaves the clock there, and when Mr. Castro starts, he starts the clock at 4, whatever it is, and continues running. Now, we've gone back and looked at many videos. When the guy leaves the platform, when the person leaves the platform, the IT guy resets the clock to 5 minutes to be prepared to hit the button, the start button again, to time the next person. But in this case, he didn't. Was he informed that this was going to happen? Is that what happened? And then the point of order by Mr. Jones was very interesting too, because at that point, Jimmy Jones, did you see what he did? He just kind of, oh, okay, it's your meeting, blah, blah, blah.
Pointed out the enormous negative impact the project would have on the environment, on our communities, on local historic sites, and on the already uncontrolled growth of Kershaw County. Not one person, not even a member of this
Madam
council.
Chair.
Just a minute, Mr. Castro. Yes, Mr. Jones.
Time.
Okay, Mr. Detweiler, your time is up. The next speaker is Rene Castro, which you are Rene Castro. I'm going to allow you to continue. This is a very unique situation. And Mr. DeBose, does that violate?
No.
Any part of our rules? Okay.
Does not.
Okay.
All right. You're the chair, you're the chair of the meeting.
Can you start the timer? All right, Mr. Castro.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I suggest to you that Jimmy Jones was playing his little game, and the whole thing was orchestrated. Now, this is how the dirty deeds and the clown show is prepared. The one with the most experience in their political games in this is certainly not Chairwoman Katie Gwin, although she's a conniving little one and puts on a good show. She's not the experience. The experience here is not the IT man. He didn't come up with this idea. The only one on council with that kind of experience would be Mr. Jimmy Jones. But I would suggest that going into this meeting, Mr. Jones had already determined he's in an uphill battle. And then the fact that Danny Cato put up such opposition suggest to me that Jimmy Jones knew that Sammy Tucker, Derek Shoemake, and Brant Tomlinson were no's. And the only shift vote was Cato. And they put the pressure on. And that's why the clown shows began the whole public comment meeting. Then, at the end, when they were in discussion and all, and Miss Marty Daniels yells out from the crowd, in an unprecedented move, Chairwoman Katie Gwin lets Marty Daniels come up, and then Mr. Castro again.
But if it's deferred, I want to make sure that we have this study back to make sure that we know what their plans are, whether it's widening it 3 feet or whether it's putting in 4 lanes or whether it's just putting in a couple turns. I want to know what they're... I don't want to vote on something that I don't know what I'm voting on. I think it's... I think it would be very immature of me if I voted on something that I really don't know what they're going to do. I mean, this is all speculation. You know, when you said that there was an independent study that you're waiting to get back and a traffic study.
Tom, excuse me. There's no independent study. That's not what I said. I said we may...
Ms. Daniels, can you please come to the microphone?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be out of order. I said we feel forced to hire an independent engineer from Vermont to come down here because we can't get information. We're asking that person to assess what's going on here.
It's her meeting. But the pressure was on, definitely on, Mr. Cato. I appreciate Mr. Cato's stance. I appreciate him standing on that principle of not having enough information. I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I think it was orchestrated. And that it was all just a clown show. There's something else to think about, boys and girls. Till next time. Jeez.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people,
right?
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
to steal from each other.
Right, if we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? And once you come to, you realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal, that if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?